Here in Bathurst, you're with Matthew Elliott, Michael Carayannis, I'm Andrew Moore, and we're joined by the Penrith Panthers CEO, Matt Cameron, here at the ground. How are you, Matt? Good to see you.
Good. Hello, boys. How are you?
Mate, very well. As I said at the start, Penrith deserve congratulations for this ongoing relationship here in Bathurst. It's been mighty for the years it's been going on. Bathurst, the people of Bathurst and the Group 10 community feel a sense of ownership with Penrith. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's enormous. This is year 10 for us. And I spoke at a sportsman's lunch yesterday. My wife and I drove into town. We turned left up the main street, and the first thing we saw was a little fella dressed head to toe in Panthers kit, and he was underneath one of the banners that council had up in the main street.
Very cool.
Getting his photo taken, so it's great.
Yeah, and capacity crowd just about already here, with kickoff still about 40 minutes away, and good to see a game here without rain.
Yes, a little bit different to last year, and I think I was talking to council yesterday, they're forecasting 12,000 today. So.
12,000 it gets up to, okay. Well, yep. It's a great sight. Those corporate tents at the beyond the Eastern Hill look very well packed as well. I'm sure they're having a good time in there.
Yeah. The Panthers board are over there at the moment. I'm sure they're having a wonderful afternoon this afternoon.
It's been a big week. Matt, there's so much to talk about with you, with the knockdown and rebuild of Panther Stadium, where you might play home games over the next year or two. But James Fisher-Harris, such a central figure in your premiership winning teams and one of the elite front rowers in the game, obviously. It was a highly secretive thing that happened out of the blue, a four-year deal now with the New Zealand Warriors, released on personal grounds. Run us through, what's the process for something like that happening? Because it's a huge decision from both sides.
Yeah, obviously James approached the club on Sunday, and it was a pretty quick conversation between the head coach, obviously Brian Fletcher, and myself. We met on Monday. We'd made that decision that he expressed an interest to return home, which we were never going to stand in front of that. Off the back of that, there was a conversation between his manager and management at the Warriors.
Yeah.
at the Warriors. At that point in time, that was really a discussion for them. That's, Panthers had no part in that. On the Tuesday, his management came back. They said they're at a point where they were ready to engage with the Warriors and get something sorted out. They had those conversations at that point in time. The NRL was involved in it the whole time, contrary to what other people have sort of said. And on Wednesday, all parties had it sorted, and we made an announcement. And that was on purpose to some degree, knowing that the team was coming up here this week. Wednesday was a day off. We just wanted to sort of get it done so James could inform the playing group and we could come up here and get a win this afternoon.
Yeah, that interests me, because with it, you don't have to go into any of the personal reasons why James wanted to leave, but because he's heading back home, was that a big swayer in terms of your club saying, yeah, it's the right thing to do?
I think first and foremost, he's been an absolute leader of men at our club. What he's been able to do for the club and the playing group, when he came and spoke to us, and clearly it's something that he's been thinking about for a period of time. And what he's done for us and our club, we were never going to stand in the way of any decision he wanted to make about returning home to New Zealand.
I guess the other thing that we've witnessed in the last three or four years is that the exit of talent has been really well catered for within the organisation. Are you going to be able to do that internally again to replace James Fisher-Harris, or are you going to have to look out outside?
Well, on Wednesday, as coincidence would have it, we've got a young fella in our squad, Laurent Patea, who's coming through. He's a young man. He's already playing New South Wales Cup. He's a little bit like Spencer, that type of player. So we have high hopes for Laurent and his progression through the NRL system. And to be brutally honest, everything happened very quickly. We've jumped on a bus and come up here on Thursday, and we've got some sort of pretty significant meetings that we have to have this week to determine where we are from an internal point of view. Obviously, you're going to have Lindsay Smith and Liam Henry running around out there this afternoon with Moses. We're deep in that spot, but we'll need to determine whether we need to look at what's on the open market and make some decisions moving forward.
One of the things I've marvelled at the organisation is regardless of some of the challenges, and it's never, you never want to see players of that talent leave your organisation. It's not something you celebrate. But just the impact it has on the playing group, and how resilient they are, and how it doesn't seem to even affect their mentality to each other.
Yeah, the reality of the salary cap and how it works today, you basically have to lose two players every year out of that starting 13 group to manage the escalation in player payments. And when we look at that, you know, if you go back, you've got, you know, Viliami, you've got Appy, you know, there's a cavalcade of players that have left the club. You know, the thing that we're really proud of is the last 18 of the last 26 players to leave our club have gone on to sign the biggest contracts they've ever signed, and we're really proud of that. You know, you get a bit shitty for a day, and then you wake up to yourself and you're really proud of the journey that you've been on with them. But the other thing that we've found is every player that's made that decision, they've tended to make it very early in the season. And more often than not, the players that have left the club, like, their best year has been the last year they've been with the club. So you're right, they are a resilient group. We try to get these things sorted out in the pre-season when we can. This one's a little bit different, but it's about just buckling down and playing good footy and winning another competition if we're good enough.
Yeah, I had a good chat to Kevy Kingston just off air before. And
great man.
He's a great man. I know he works in that space for you, but one of the things that can't happen, and Ivan Cleary doesn't get spoken about what an amazing leader of people he is. Can you just give us a quick insight of how he leads that? Because that doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah, I've talked about it quite often. I do a bit of public speaking with our corporate partners. You know, we're on a bit of a, we refer to it as a vulnerability-based trust mission with our playing group at the moment. And obviously since losing the grand final in 2020, you know, we're quite a vulnerable group. You know, we talk openly about what we're trying to do, what's weighing us down, how we need to move forward. And Ivan leads that. As you said, he's a great leader of men. You know, he's got some great support there. You mentioned Kevy Kingston. You know, Shane Elford's in our system as well. You know, great assistant coaches. But we're really honest and open with one another and how we feel about it and how the playing group feels about decisions we make as a staff, and what we need to do to be at our best and perform week in, week out. And you know, it's a cliche, but people say it all the time. We're process-driven. You know, we're not result-driven. So if we do the work during the week and we turn up and get our stuff sorted out on the weekend, I think we'll be okay.
Matty, I commend the stance that the club took with James Fisher-Harris and how clean cut that was, which you don't often see in these situations. But one of the questions people have asked is, why didn't you potentially ask for something in return from the Warriors like we've seen other clubs do?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it was out of respect to James. Like, you know, like, I know for a fact that once you start to go down that path about a player swap or compensation, those sorts of things, you know, it tends to then drag out a process. And I've, you know, without singling different processes out of other clubs, you know, in the recent past, you know, we didn't want that. James is an absolute ambassador for our club. We were never going to stand in his way, and we certainly weren't going to complicate the issue with, you know, asking the Warriors for a, you know, a replacement player or seeking some form of compensation. You know, we just didn't want to do that out of respect for James.
Another player that you're in the midst of talking to is Taruva. Where's that contract negotiation at the moment?
Yep, so met with Mark Stewart early last week. Healthy dialogue. Obviously, there's interest from a couple other clubs, a couple of Sydney clubs from what I've been told. Sunil's a great player. You know, he's another example of a talented young man that's come into our system. He's excelled. There's genuine interest in him from the outside market, and we just need to sort of work through that process and see where we land. And obviously that meeting was Monday. We were aware of the James Fisher-Harris situation from sort of Sunday afternoon, so we've sort of pumped the brakes internally a little bit in that conversation. We'll pick that up again on Monday or Tuesday.
And there's some news yesterday around young Jet Cleary. Yep. And his potential future. Can you update us with that? Because there was some talk yesterday that the Warriors were surfing as well.
Yeah, no, there's a bit of... Webby's always been a fan, as he should be. Jet's off contract with the Panthers this year. I haven't seen a contract offer. I haven't seen anything from the Warriors. So I don't know how far those conversations have gone. But, you know, he's a Panther. We'd like to think that we'd be in a competitive space to entertain, you know, if he's genuinely looking at something from the Warriors, I think we could counter that and try and keep him with the Panthers as long as we could.
Matt, in terms of where you're going to play home games next year, there's strong reports that you're going to be a part of the Las Vegas experience in 2025. And you've got 6-7 other home games to concern yourself about. Is there thought to bring more games to regional areas? Where are you at with where you'll be playing over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so obviously at the moment we play 11 games at home and one game out here at Bathurst. You know, Brian Fletcher, the group's leader at the moment, is in conversations with Andrew and the NRL. Obviously we'll be here next year at Bathurst, but yeah, we are looking at the capacity to potentially bring another game west, not necessarily to Bathurst, but, you know, other regional areas. The conversation's, you know, very deep at the moment about where the team sits in relation to Vegas in 25. And we're just trying to work out the balance, because obviously the team won't play at Bluebet next year. They'll more than likely play at Combank. You know, we don't want to have a situation where we're not playing a lot of games at Combank, which then affects our membership base.
Yep.
So it's just trying to find that right balance between the amount of games at Combank and the amount of games we take away.
And what are the benefits from you? We were in Vegas. It was an incredible experience from a football side of things, apart from anything else, starting with the Fan Fest. Why is it important for Penrith to be part of that next year?
Oh, I think, you know, the amount of people since those games have happened in Vegas and even over in the corporate area today, like just people talking about, are you going to Vegas next year? We'd love to go. I think the initiative, you know, from the NRL has really, you know, energised people's interest in it, not only in and around the football, but the opportunity to travel to the US to watch a game of football, which I think would be enormous.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It's a great stadium.
And as you said, every person in the media world, you know, print media and TV that I've spoken to since they've come back just said it was amazing. So, and I suppose a little bit like us going to England to play the World Club Challenge, like it really opens the players' eyes up to how other sports operate. You know, we got to spend the day at Man City and train at their facility, and
yeah,
it was mind-blowing. So I'm sure if we had the opportunity to go and play at Allegiant, it would really open the players' eyes up to, you know, how the NFL operates and the scale at which they operate.
Well, I'm talking to Connor Watson, who was there with the Roosters in LA for the week leading up to a training at UCLA, and seeing all those facilities blew his head off.
Yeah.
And also the players. And as Manly's now getting this partnership together with UFC, it would open up, would it not, the potential for a corporate partnership over in the United States? Would that be a direction you turn to as well?
You would investigate any opportunity as we try to grow revenues, you know, and that's, you've got to commend Peter and Andrew, you know, the notion to take the game to the US to try and trying to open up those other revenues for clubs. I think it's really important. So.
Penrith are going. They're going to Vegas next year.
You know, something that I'd wow, Michael, so.
They'll be on the plane, and I have a bit of mail on who one of the other teams may be.
Is that for MC's Hammer?
Yeah,
time
later.
Or now?
Later.
Oh, right, okay. Well, there you go, Matt. You're going.
Oh, okay.
You're going.
I'll book my tickets.
Pack the bag.
If MC just says you're going, you're going.
We'd love to go. You know, and as I said, our fans, the ones that, you know, we've been engaging in at home games, it's the very first question they ask, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and you've got to applaud those four clubs that have gone in year one. They've done the heavy lifting. You know, they've worked out how to do things and how not to do things. So the opportunity to go in year two or potentially in year three would be enormous.
Well, I'll give you an idea. That Fan Fest, players and coaches were embracing the crowd and the atmosphere. Normally they have their game face on and don't want it to disrupt what might happen a couple of days later. But coaches were smiling, CEOs were smiling, players were smiling. It was really cool. Just one final thing, we'll let you go. Talon May dropped from the game today. It's not something we hear a lot of with Penrith, for sure, over the last few years, any disciplinary action. How delicate a balance is that, handling that situation with the player, and how has Talon responded?
Yeah, look, Talon's got a few things going on at the moment. We just thought it was in his best interest that he worked through those, and we didn't want to complicate those this week with him preparing for this game, so we'll just take it at a week-by-week basis at the moment.
All right, thanks for joining us here.
Just before I can jump off, boys, I've got a mate, lives on the sunny coast, Dunn. I know he's listening. He's been peppering me all morning. Hope you're having a great day, Dunn. So.
Dunn on the sunny coast.
Yeah, what would he be doing right now?
Well, he's my age, so I hope he's kicking back with a beer in his hand, just about to watch the footy.
I was about to guess he might be doing the same as those people in the corporate.
Hey, that's what was my
bending
thought.
The elbow slightly, enjoying the day.
I think the only difference, he had to pay for his. I'm not sure.
There you go. Hey, good to see you, Matt. Thanks
Thank you, boys,
up.
And thanks for the support for the club and what you do out here. It's enormous. I hope we have a great day. Cheers. Yep.